will.
Here's the, we'll see. I was going to run the PowerPoint presentation off my phone, but I am not convinced I can turn off enough things on my phone that trouble causers in the audience could be prevented from sending messages to everybody on the screen. So we will see what this does. This may come, I don't know. Sorry about that. It's not there. It's not the fault at the back. All right. My computer. So we've been doing a series on prophecy, and we would like to continue this evening with one more kind of preparatory message, and there may be consternation about that, because maybe we just want to talk about what's going to happen in prophecy. But nonetheless, I think it's worthwhile to have some messages in preparation for the study, because like anything else, if we want to get a job done, not only properly, but kind of in an efficient way, the best thing to do is be properly prepared for it. So this is why I am terribly bad at anything handy. Well, there's so many reasons I'm bad at anything handy, but at the same time, I do the smallest job, and it's going to take me 15 trips to the workbench to get the tools I need, where it would be a lot faster if I just brought all the tools the first time. But I don't know enough to know which tools to bring. And so it's for something that somebody else would do very quickly. So it's the idea with talking about anything in the Bible, really, but Bible prophecy certainly, is that if we have a good, if we're prepared properly to look at what the Bible says, it will help us to handle the subject properly. And among other things, especially with a topic like prophecy, where there's so many kind of crazy ideas out there, this is, being properly prepared is a safety measure for us. It helps us to kind of transfer the focus from guesses and speculation and, you know, oh, this is fascinating and this is something super cool I read on the internet and everything else, to something a little more stable than that. And it helps us to try and ground ourselves in the scriptures a little better. So we want to help, we want to do a better job, we want to make the job simpler, make the job faster, but of course we certainly want to minimize the mistakes we make. We want to have a safe approach to things. And so there are, we talked leading up to this about what prophecy is. We talked about Old Testament prophecy that has already been fulfilled. There are a great many prophecies in the Bible that have already been fulfilled, and that's useful to us because it gives us the template to understand how God fulfills prophecy. We see he had a bunch of prophecies concerning the first coming of Messiah, and concerning not just that, but concerning different nations and things that would happen. And we said, how did God fulfill those things? And the main point is this, that we would ask ourselves, because there's two suggestions about how God fulfills prophecy. One is he fulfills it literally, and the other is he fulfills it spiritually and allegorically. And and we see that what happens in all the prophecies that have already been fulfilled is that they have been fulfilled literally. So when God said Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, he meant Bethlehem. He didn't mean in some kind of merely that the Messiah would be born in humility or in some little town in Israel, but any town would do. He really literally meant Bethlehem. And when he said the Messiah would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, he wasn't just making a statement that people would betray him and undervalue him. He literally meant 30 pieces of silver. And that's very important because that is the template. God has said, okay, there's lots of prophecies in the Bible. Hundreds of them have been fulfilled, and they've all been fulfilled literally and specifically. So now we know that when he makes the other prophecies, the ones that are yet to be fulfilled, there's, and we're not going to be safe, we're not going to be biblical to try to spiritualize those away or allegorize them, that we know he's going to fulfill them again, specifically and literally. So that was another one we looked at. And also it reassured us of the trustworthiness of biblical prophecy. Well, there's one other thing we want to talk about before we get into it, and I think we'll all see why easily enough, why that's important, and is that there are distinctions the Bible makes as far as prophecy goes. So you'll probably remember we've performed this test before, but if I were to say to you, just kind of think of Bible history, a Bible overview in your minds, and think of times when the way God dealt with man radically changed. I think we can see there are certain times that there was a radical change in how God dealt with man. So one of them, the first one, was when God evicted Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. There was a radical change then. It was everything that went on in the relationship between man and God was very different before and after that. And it's not a minor change. It's not just something that in the course of events, something happened and there's a kind of a minor tweak. This was a radical change, wasn't it? So just for interest's sake, what are some other times when there was a radical change? Not just in your brains. Anyone want to suggest some? Everyone's very quiet. You're making the meeting much longer than it needs to be. Yes, the flood. Very good. Others? We don't do them all, but yeah.
The pillars of smoke and fire.
What was that?
The pillars of smoke and fire.
Like with the, when he guided, when it, like at the Exodus? Yeah. Okay. All right, so we could go through them. We could see that there are a bunch of times in history where God radically changed. He did it at the flood. There was a very different world and very different set of rules before and after the flood. There was a very different set of rules